In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. An ancient homily for Holy Saturday, probably from the second century, reflects upon the rather depressing mood, the tangible grief that enveloped the hearts of the apostles hours after the death and burial of Jesus. "Something strange is happening," he says. "There is a great silence on earth today, a great silence and stillness. The whole earth keeps silence because the king is asleep. The earth trembled and is still because God has fallen asleep in the flesh. God has died in the flesh, and hell trembles with fear." The author was trying to convey the magnitude of the sadness, the depth of anguish of those hours. What hopes those first followers of the Lord had harbored. He was the way. But now, with his body buried deep in the earth, the way, the road, was destroyed. He was the truth, not only because of the words he spoke while among his own people, but because in this word incarnate were spoken all the truths of every conceivable time and age. Now, truth itself was silenced, muted in the hushed, sterile ground of fallen creation. He was the life, infinite, irrepressible life that existed before the world began. He took on human flesh, gave joy at Cana's marriage feast, and restored life to Lazarus. Suddenly, all that hope for life was gone, disappeared forever, unless, of course, God had other plans. And, of course, he did. Something strange happened then and is happening now, here, this night. We hear the incredible news proclaimed to the three women at the empty tomb, and with them are taken aback with wonder. "Do not be amazed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, the crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go and tell his disciples and Peter. He is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him as he told you." On this holiest night of the year, the church calls upon nature's most basic elements: open air, fire, water, light, darkness, to emphasize the cosmic dimensions and effects of our Lord's resurrection. In her readings, she revisits the momentous events in salvation history that have led up to this night, to insist that this night is the culmination of those saving events and the fulfillment of all God's promises. And she proclaims again and again that he is risen, a message meant to challenge once again the faith of each one of us, a message embraced this night by our catechumens and candidates, who in being received into full communion with the church will radiate the risen life of Christ before us. For all of us here and around the world, this is the night when Christ broke the prison bars of death and rose victorious from the underworld. The truly blessed night when things of heaven are wed to those of earth and divine to the human. Yes, on this night of eternal life, we are sacramentally one with that earliest apostolic church and with the faithful throughout the world, in experiencing the presence of the risen Christ. This is the night when we join all of creation in thanking God for that happy fault, that necessary sin of Adam, which gained for us so great a Redeemer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.